Well, how do you go about showing somebody that you love them? A nice meal out? Chocolates? Flowers? That special gift just for them? Well, I suppose that might work quite well for that special somebody in your life. But what about your other friends and colleagues in your life? How do you show them that you love them? So surely sending chocolates and flowers to all your friends and colleagues could get misunderstood. Well, in the Bible reading that we had just a few moments ago from John chapter 13, Jesus wants to show his disciples how much he loves them. And John makes that very clear in verse 1. Do you see that? Look at verse 1 of John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who are in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And it's clear that the way that John is writing this chapter, that we're supposed to understand that we're now reaching the climax of Jesus' ministry. Look at that second phrase of verse 1 again. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world. The time had come. Now you look at verse 2. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. The forces ranged against Jesus were building up and gathering to strike. And then look at verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So Jesus himself is fully aware of the significance of this moment and of where he's going. So this is the climax to Jesus' ministry, and John makes that very clear to us. And the whole of Jesus' ministry has been moving towards this point. And if we didn't know what was coming next, I don't think we'd have guessed it. I don't think we'd have guessed what was going to happen next. Maybe we'd have guessed that Jesus might have done a great display of power, or maybe some stirring, inspirational farewell speech. But I guess we wouldn't have been expecting verse 4. Seems a bit of an anticlimax, doesn't it? Look at verse 4. So Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped round him. And the surprise and shock of that is difficult for us to understand. Look at verse 5 again. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And the impression we get from that is that Jesus is going from disciple to disciple, and there's stunned silence. Nobody says anything. There's an air of embarrassment. You see, what Jesus was doing there was not some kind of nice, polite gesture, like hanging up the coats when you go inside. Jesus is doing the worst, muckiest job that a slave can do. In fact, it was such a horrible job that Roman slaves weren't allowed to do it. Only the lowest of the low were allowed to do it. Because, of course, there was no sanitation in the streets in those days. So you literally stepped in anything. So washing feet was a necessity when you went indoors. It was a dirty job. So there is Jesus, prepared to be the lowest slave for his disciples. And by doing that, he's shown them the full extent of his love. Because love is sacrifice. When you sacrifice for someone, you deliberately put yourself aside and you put that someone at the center stage. That is what sacrifice is all about. And Jesus here is deliberately putting his personal considerations aside, his dignity, his status, and he puts the disciples at the center instead. That's what love is. That's the essence of love. Sacrifice. There is no higher love, because that is the root of what love is. Sacrifice. Which is why we find it so difficult to love unselfishly. We find it so difficult to move ourselves from the center of our lives and let anybody else, even the closest people to us, take center stage because we're so naturally selfish. We don't like doing things that are beneath us, that may harm our status and dignity. We don't like doing that because we get our security from our status and dignity. We don't like being selfless, even in our love. Before being ordained, I worked for Rolls-Royce Aero Engines in Derby on the economics side of things. And like in many offices, the office I worked in had a tea club. And we all took it in turns to make the tea for each other. And maybe in your office you have something rather similar. But when somebody got to a certain management grade, they suddenly stopped making the tea. It was below them. It was suddenly beneath them. Still in the tea club, of course, expecting their cup of tea, but they would stop making the tea. It sounds trivial, doesn't it? But just occasionally, there was someone who reached this dizzy level and would carry on making the tea. And the impact that had on people went far beyond just the normal chore of making tea. You had your manager making your tea for you. It seems so trivial, but sacrifice makes an impact on people's lives, even on that rather trivial level. Well, Jesus here is doing far more than just making the tea. It's far more radical than that. Jesus' sacrificial love here enables him to take on any role at all, to maneuver into any sphere of life in order to love others through sacrifice. Roles don't matter to God. The amazing truth about God's love is there's nothing he considers beneath him if it means he can sacrificially love people. And so we have Jesus here in the full extent of his love being prepared to take on even being the lowest slave for his disciples. That is love. So roles don't matter to God. But also in this account, there's something else. Jesus' love here, it's not just that roles don't matter to him, but Jesus here also shows us that he takes on a role we can't take on. The embarrassed silence goes on until, of course, you get to Simon Peter, who always has to say something. So look, we come to verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And that's very emphatic there in the Greek. You know, you, my Lord, going to wash my feet? Very emphatic. So Jesus, verse 7, says, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand," referring to the cross. And then verse 8, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." It's still far too embarrassing for Peter to have Jesus washing his feet. But then look what Jesus says. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." There's a sting in the tail there. If I don't wash you, Peter, you can have no part of me. That is the way to be part of me, says Jesus. And so what we see Jesus doing here is showing the full extent of his love, which will be seen through the cross. That's what he's doing. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves clean, to make our hearts clean. Even if we lived the rest of our lives in perfect lives, perfectly, even if we did that from today, well, how can we pay for the uncleanness in our lives up to this moment? And of course, we can't live the rest of our lives perfectly either. But even up to this point, how can we deal with the uncleanness? Because even from our own standards, even the standards that we set for ourselves, we know that we've said, thought, done things that aren't good. So not even thinking about God's standards, just our own, we know there are unclean things in our lives. But here we get to the very heart of what the Christian good news is. We receive cleansing from Jesus. It is given to us. It's a gift. We can't possibly do it ourselves. How can we pay for our rebellion against God? How can we clean our own hearts? We can't. We can't possibly do it. But when Jesus died on the cross, he took our place. And the consequences of us being unclean went on him instead. So we can be clean and can be forgiven. So that's why Jesus says in that last part of verse 8, look again, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Because that's where it starts, receiving from God. So here we see the full extent of God's love, of Jesus' love. There is no sacrifice he isn't prepared to make to save and to love people. There's nothing he considers beneath him in order to serve and to save and to love. Because on the cross, Jesus wasn't just a menial slave. He wasn't a menial slave there. No. He became a convicted criminal for us. Well, it even gets worse than that. He became the one bearing our sin. How much lower can you get than that? You cannot. And that is the God of the universe, prepared to step down from heaven to become our sin so we can go free. Well, that is love. There is no greater love than that. A sacrifice that cost everything and took everything that separates us from God. Well, look at verse 8 again, that last part. Do you see that last part again? Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. That's how you become a Christian. Very simply, that's how you become a Christian. You just receive the cleansing that comes from God. And I wonder whether you've taken that step. There may be one or two people who have not done that. Maybe you think becoming a Christian is very complicated. It is not. Becoming a Christian is not complicated at all. It's just a simple step of receiving the cleansing from Jesus. Then we understand how to live it afterwards. But the starts with just receiving. That's where it starts. Maybe it is the right time for you now to receive that cleansing. If you need to know more and you need to ask more questions, well, of course, the Christianity Explore course that Jago talked about just a few moments ago, the details on the sheet, maybe you can go to that. But you don't need to go to a course. No. You can just receive cleansing straight away from Jesus in a moment, at a moment. Well, of course, Peter being Peter goes from one extreme to the other. If he needs to be washed to be part of Jesus, well, what did he say? He wants a whole bath. Then, Lord, verse 9, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Give me the whole lot. You know, that's typical Peter, from one extreme to the other. But look what Jesus says to him. A person who hasn't had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you, but he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not every one of you was clean. Well, Jesus there is saying that, of course, once you're cleansed by him, you are totally cleansed. But for the rest of your life, you'll still need to be forgiven, of course. Once you become a Christian, you don't become perfect. So, of course, you need to receive continual forgiveness from Jesus. And that's what he's referring to there in verse 10. But the big story here is that love is sacrifice. And the God of the universe has sacrificed himself for our cleansing. He carried our sin as a convicted criminal on the cross so we can go free. Isn't this wonderful? Roles don't matter to God. Jesus takes on a role that we can't possibly take on ourselves. But thirdly, Jesus also says this. He gives us a role that we must follow. Look at verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do
as I have done for you.
Jesus has loved us radically. And his command is that we, as his followers, should love radically as well. Once we receive the extraordinary love of Jesus into our lives, then that should liberate us and free us into loving others in the radical way that we have been loved. And that means we are people who should sacrifice for others. So often, people boil down Christian love to not doing certain things. You know, like, so what we do is, we're not horrible to people, or we're not rude to people, and we think that's loving people. And we just boil down Christian love to rather nice middle-class decency. Well, Jesus' love is far more radical than that. Just being nice to people is not Christian love. It's a deliberate seeking out of people, a deliberate putting aside of ourselves for others, so that others are at the center, because that's what God has done for us. That's what Jesus has done for us. So we do it for others. It means stepping outside what our status might normally allow us and sacrifice for people. I wonder what social conventions you live with, or what hierarchies you live with, maybe in your office, maybe in your work. What is it that you live with where you, as a follower of Jesus, should step out of that and sacrifice for others? You may have a great sphere of influence. Well, is your title or your status in where you work or live, in the spheres of influence you move, do you find that your status is a springboard to serve others, or a label that you think brings you rights that other people should serve you? Jesus could be called teacher and Lord. He could have said, I'm your teacher, I'm your Lord, I'm not going to wash your feet, somebody else do it. He didn't. The biggest impact that you can make for the Lord Jesus Christ is in your sphere of influence, is to sacrifice for others. That's the true adventure of following the Lord Jesus Christ, is breaking the mold. Breaking the mold. That's what Jesus did. There's a wonderful freedom here, a wonderful freedom that Jesus displays, a freedom to maneuver through every sphere of life, to break conventions in the name of radical love. The world certainly notices sacrifice. You want to make an impact? You sacrifice for others, and people will notice. And it's only what has been done for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with a quote from Bill Hybels, a book called Becoming a Contagious Christian. And this is what he writes. He says this: compassion is occasionally written of as the opiate of the do-gooders who may have some ulterior motive. But sacrifice, motivated by genuine love and concern, is extremely difficult to discount. It is. It makes an impact. And for those of us who have been sacrificed for by the Lord Jesus Christ, should be people who go out and radically love others by sacrificing for them. And in the name of Jesus, that will be noticed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ, that you sent him to die for us, to win our cleansing. Heavenly Father, we are amazed that you, as the God of the universe, would consider that not beneath you to do for our sake. May you help us live for others in that same way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.